Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Monday, January 13th, 2020. Coming up this hour.
Protests break out in Iran after the government admits to mistakenly downing a Ukrainian plane.
U.S. futures gain and China's currency strengthens as a trade delegation from Beijing arrives in Washington.
And the pound weakens with traders moving up bets for a rate cut from the Bank of England.
The head of Human Rights Watch is barred from entering Hong Kong, plus House Speaker Pelosi on the Senate Majority Leader.
Dismissing is a cover-up.
I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Packers held on, beat the Seahawks to advance to the NFC Championship game. The Chiefs move on to the AFC after a wild win over the Texans. Home wins for the Knicks, Nets, and Devils.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business App.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. futures are gaining to start the week. We're coming up to 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are up 13 points this morning. Dow futures up 126, and NASDAQ futures up 46. The DAX in Germany is little change. The CAC in Paris up 0.33%, and the FTSE 100 up 0.5%. 10-year Treasury down 6/32, yield 1.84%. The yield on the 2-year, 1.57%. COMEX gold is down 0.5%, or $8 to $15.52.10 an ounce. The euro, 1.1119 against the dollar. The yen, 109.89. Nathan.
Karen, we begin with protests in Iran after the government admitted to mistakenly downing a Ukrainian plane last week. The admission has garnered global condemnation, including from Canada's Prime Minister Justin Trudeau.
What Iran has admitted to is very serious. Shooting down a civilian aircraft is horrific. Iran must take full responsibility.
Exactly why Iran mistook the passenger jet for a cruise missile is unclear. Safeguards for surface-to-air missiles are supposed to prevent mistaken identity. All of them appear to have failed.
Iranians flooded the streets in response. Videos on social media show clashes between protesters and riot police, chants of opposition to Iran's supreme leader, and trails of blood on the street. We get more from Bloomberg's Zeneb Fatah in Dubai.
So far, these demonstrations are large within the universities. We are hearing about demonstrations in Mashhad and other places, but we don't have a sense of how widespread throughout the country are these protests. And protesters are super angry about the number of people who died, Iranians, and the initial cover-up that the government started with, basically not taking responsibility for its mistake. And so far, we have not seen any resignations. We have not seen any of the top leadership thrown out of the government. No blame officially, and that's angering the protesters even more.
President Trump is voicing support for the protesters with tweets in both English and Farsi, warning Iran's leaders not to interfere with demonstrations.
Now, despite the unrest in Iran, energy markets are calm. Oil remains steady after the biggest weekly drop in 6 months, and it could stay that way. International Energy Agency Director Fatih Birol says demand is weakening as crude floods the market.
We expect 2020 there will be a surplus of more than 1 million barrels per day looking for buyers.
Barring any unexpected events, the IEA director sees little room for oil to move higher, and right now West Texas Intermediate is higher by just 2 cents at $59.06 a barrel. Brent is higher by a penny at $64.99.
In the UK, the pound is weaker as traders move up bets for a rate cut from the Bank of England. Data show the British economy shrank 0.3% in November, and BOE member Gertjan Vlieg tells the Financial Times he will vote to lower rates this month if there's no sign of improvement. We get more from Bloomberg FX and rate strategist Richard Jones.
It's a very concerted communication effort from the Bank of England. They're actually really going out of their way to tell the market rates are coming lower. And the market did shift those expectations from December, where we had a sort of a 50-50 chance of a rate cut, to now that being in May.
And checking sterling now at 1.2984 against the dollar.
A delegation from China arrives in Washington today with plans to sign a phase one trade agreement on Wednesday. Optimism on that front helped boost stocks in Asia. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally joins us from Singapore with details. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. China's yuan strengthened to a five-month high, punching past 6.9 to the dollar in both the on- and offshore markets ahead of this week's planned trade deal signing with the US. The CSI 300 was up almost 1%. In Taiwan, stocks traded near 30-year highs, while the Taiwanese dollar held at its strongest level against the greenback since June 2018, following President Tsai's resounding re-election win. And some positive signs on the Korean economy, with semiconductor shipments rising 12% in the first 10 days of January from a year earlier. The won rose to a six-month high and the KOSPI closed at its best level since April 2019. In Singapore, I'm Juliette Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Juliette, thank you. Back here in the U.S., this week is all about bank earnings. Starting tomorrow, results start rolling in from the nation's six largest lenders. And we get more now from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
Bank stocks are coming off of their best year in more than two decades, outpacing the broader market with a 36% surge in 2019. And fourth quarter profits at the six biggest American lenders set for release this week will help them challenge the annual record of $120 billion set in 2018, according to analyst estimates. Strong consumer units and corporate tax cuts are fueling the gains, but there are warning signs. Estimates for 2020 are for a combined profit drop of $10 billion as global interest rates remain stubbornly low and geopolitical tensions stay high. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Charlie. Meantime, Goldman Sachs is planning a big expansion in China. We get details on that live from Bloomberg's John Tucker. Good morning, John.
And Nate, sources tell us Goldman plans to double its staff in China to 600 people. It's part of a five-year plan using relaxed rules in China to take control of a joint venture it set up with a Chinese securities firm in 2004. Goldman intends to add to its advisory, markets, and merchant banking operations, and it sees a huge opportunity to be an asset manager on the mainland. They're hoping it doesn't stop there. Banks such as Goldman are looking for a new regulatory and legal framework in China that will let them sell more sophisticated products and services. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak. Karen.
All right, John, thank you. S&P futures are higher, up 13 points. Dow futures up 127, and NASDAQ futures up 47. 10-year Treasury down 6/30 seconds, yield 1.84%, and the yield on the 2-year 1.57%. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. It's 6:07 on Wall Street, and Michael Barr is here with more on what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. Hong Kong has denied the Human Rights Watch executive director entry. Kenneth Roth didn't find out until he got to Hong Kong International Airport yesterday. Roth was planning to hold a press conference in Hong Kong on Wednesday to detail his organization's latest world report describing what they see as China's undermining of international human rights.
So I'm going to return to New York. I'll hold the press conference there. But sadly, this episode is just the latest evidence that the Chinese government is doing everything it can to undermine the enforcement of international human rights standards.
The move happened as Hong Kong residents continue pro-democracy protests. A new ABC News Ipsos poll shows a majority of Americans are not happy with President Trump's handling of the situation with Iran. According to the survey, 52% say they feel less safe after the January 3rd killing by the U.S. of Iranian General Qassem Soleimani. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says delaying sending the articles of impeachment to the Senate produced a positive result. Pelosi says she fears Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell will not follow through on his oath of office to provide a fair impeachment trial after signing a resolution to dismiss the charges. Pelosi on ABC's This Week says dismissing is a cover-up.
We feel very proud of the courage of our members to vote to impeach the president. There's nothing the Senate can do that can ever erase that.
ABC's This Week can be heard Sundays on Bloomberg Radio. Meanwhile, Republican Senator Lindsey Graham says the delay in sending the articles of impeachment passed by the House will have no effect on the outcome of the president's trial in the GOP-controlled Senate.
This trial will end in a matter of days, not weeks, and he's going to be acquitted. I hope every Republican votes to acquit, and I think some Democrats will too.
Trump was charged with abuse of power. Evacuations are underway in the Philippines, where an erupting volcano 40 miles south of Manila has triggered about 75 earthquakes. The volcano is spewing ballistic fragments and forced the nation's markets and Manila airport to close. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thank you. It is 6:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
Nathan, it'll be the 49ers and Packers for the NFC Championship. Two teams who've together won 9 Super Bowls. The AFC title game, Titans and Chiefs, they've collectively only won 1, and that was Kansas City 50 years ago. Chiefs haven't been back to a Super Bowl since. They've had multiple playoff disappointments. It looked like yesterday would be another nightmarish start. Had them trailing Houston 24-0. KC then scored touchdowns on the next 7 possessions. They went from down 24 to up 20. They beat the Texans 51-31. Patrick Mahomes threw 5 touchdown passes.
Yeah, I mean, obviously we didn't want to be in that spot, but the biggest thing that I think I was preaching to the team was, let's go do something special. Everybody's already counting us out. Let's just go play by play and just put our best effort out there. And, I mean, obviously I knew as a team we had to kind of, everything had to go the right way, but I thought the defense stepped up, special teams stepped up. Offensively, we started making the plays we weren't making, and play by play, we just chipped away at that lead.
Packers led Seattle by 18. Seahawks got to within 5, never got the ball back, and Aaron Rodgers passed to Devontae Adams for a first down, sealed the 28-23 win. Adams scored 2 TDs. Minnesota assistant Kevin Stefanski will be the new head coach in Cleveland. Former Giants coach Pat Shurmur landed a job coaching the offense in Denver. The Miami Heat having a great season, but a rough weekend in New York. They blew a lead Friday in Brooklyn. They were up 14 at the Garden. The Knicks with maybe their best win of the year, 124-121. Nets back at Barclays, beat Atlanta 108-86. Kyrie Irving, 21 points. He returned from a shoulder injury. The Devils fired general manager Ray Sherrow and then upset Tampa Bay 3-1. The Lightning had won 10 in a row. The Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
All right, John, thanks. And one other casualty of the Chiefs' offensive explosion against the Texans yesterday was a lack of literal explosions. The Chiefs had to apologize to their fans yesterday because they ran out of celebratory fireworks. They scored so much. Kansas City tallied 51 points, including touchdowns on 7 straight offensive drives. If you want an explosive offense, that would pretty much sum it up. S&P futures higher by almost 13 points now. Dow futures up 125. NASDAQ futures up 46. This is Bloomberg. And Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Land Rover. Life's an adventure. Experience it in the new Land Rover Discovery Sport. Visit your tri-state area Land Rover retailer for details on the new Discovery Sport. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and on Quick Take by Bloomberg. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. This update brought to you by Eisner Amper, named Best Global Accounting Firm for the 3rd year in a row by Hedgeweek, a leading hedge fund industry publication. Learn more at EisnerAmper.com/FS. And futures are higher this morning with S&P futures up about 12 points. Dow futures up 118. NASDAQ futures up 43. The DAX in Germany, little change. 10-year Treasury down 6/32. Yield 1.84% and the yield on the 2-year 1.57%. NYMEX crude oil, little change, down 3 cents at $59.01 a barrel, and COMEX gold down 0.5% or $8 at $15.52.10 an ounce. The British pound is at 1.2979 against the dollar. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, Iran witnessed a second night of protests, some violent, after the government admitted it had mistakenly downed a Ukrainian passenger jet. Videos posted on social media showed clashes between protesters and riot police and chants in opposition to Supreme Leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei. In the NFL playoffs, the Packers advanced to the NFC final, beating the Seahawks. The Chiefs advanced to the AFC final, beating the Texans. In the NBA, the Knicks and Nets won. The Wizards lost along with the Warriors. In the NHL, the Devils won. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
And thank you, Michael. Now 6:19 on Wall Street. We are live at the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, and this is Bloomberg Daybreak. Good morning, I'm John Tucker. Time now to get you set up for the trading day and the week ahead. Joining us in New York, Joe Weisenthal, head of the America's News Desk for Bloomberg News. In London, we're joined by News Director David Merritt. And in Beijing, I'm pleased to say we have Managing Editor Emma O'Brien. David, let's start with you. The protests in Iran, they have turned violent.
That's right. Yes, really, public anger building there after the government finally admitted, after 4 days of denials, that it had indeed shot down this airplane with 176 people on board. And really, it's undercut this sense of sort of national unity that they had been building in Iran since the January 3rd killing of General Soleimani by the US. And these, as you said, these protests now proving intermittently violent. Donald Trump coming out and sending some rather provocative tweets, some in Farsi, saying to the Iranians, do not kill your protesters. So the situation continuing really to spiral for the Iranian side, nothing really going their way. And the reaction around the world increasingly angry at the fact that this passenger jet was downed by the Iranian military, albeit in a terrible accident.
Joe, here in the studio with me, yeah. A Chinese delegation on its way to Washington to sign that phase one trade deal. But then there were all sorts of pesky questions like enforcement and, you know, what does this really cover?
Yeah, it looks like at least the signature of the phase one deal, which, you know, we've been talking about this phase one forever, is finally going to happen. But, you know, there's so many questions beyond that. How are they actually enforced? Various questions about purchases. And then the degree to which we'll be talking about phase two and phase three. You know, I think people in the market presume that discussion of future phases will be pushed off for a while so that they don't interfere with the election. But obviously, people's expectations are always being confounded these days. So I wouldn't even be so sure about that.
Emma O'Brien in Beijing. A favorite criticism of President Trump is that China weakens its currency to aid exporters. But look here, it's going the other way.
That's right. Markets, at least in China, seem to be taking this phase one trade deal, for all the criticism of it, as a positive sign. China's currency, the yuan, rallying to its strongest level against the dollar since July today, streaking past a very key technical level of 6.9 to the greenback for the first time since August. Now, that positive sentiment flowed on to Chinese stocks. We had the CSI 300 closing at a two-year high. As well as the imminent trade deal, recent data has also showed signs the economy here may be steadying, particularly on the manufacturing side.
David, let's switch to you. It's not just the Chinese who are headed to Washington this week. Who on earth is Phil Hogan?
Well, Phil Hogan, he's the Irishman. He was the new trade chief for the European Commission. So, yes, whilst this Chinese and U.S. deal looks set to be signed, the Europeans, of course, concerned that they might be next in terms of Mr. Trump's trade wars around the world. So Phil Hogan, he's heading to Washington from tomorrow. He's going to try and reset that commercial relationship. But, of course, lots of things to fight about. There's France's digital tax. There's the Airbus-Boeing feud. There's the threat of tariffs on European car makers. And also the concern, you know, the Europeans are still clinging on to this Iran nuclear deal. And with the tensions between the US and Iran still spiraling, you know, will somehow the Europeans be caught up in that? And that could spill over into any trade talks in the coming months.
Joe, back to you. Investors, finally, we'll have some real numbers to chew on. It is the start of earnings season.
Yet again, earnings season.
We do it every quarter.
And, of course, a lot of banks will be coming out of the gate early. Lots of questions these days about them. You know, I think we're going to be hearing a lot of familiar themes. Capital markets activity is going to be questioned. Cost control questions about the economy. But they always provide a nice snapshot, and usually on the calls, get some further color on lending activity and economic activity overall. So should be a must. Investors will all be tuning in and paying attention to that.
Emma, I have to wonder what the world's most famous fugitive is thinking this morning. We have news Nissan is rethinking its relationship with Renault.
Yes, I don't know if it'll be a big surprise to Carlos Ghosn, who flagged the what he called the sorry state of the alliance quite heavily in his tell-all press conference last week. Tensions apparently between the two car makers, Nissan and Renault, have flared again with Ghosn, as I said, laying into the companies in their alliance last week. Nissan has been examining for some time now, sources tell us, contingency plans for breaking away from the alliance with Renault, with scenarios like splitting off their relatively strong manufacturing and technology arm from the union in the offing.
David, let's wrap up with you. Got about 45 seconds. Worry over a slowdown, talk of a rate cut. It's the UK economy in focus.
That's right. Numbers out this morning showing the UK unexpectedly shrank in December. Now, of course, this was before the big general election, and that has been Mr. Johnson's big majority has given a boost to sentiment. So there's some questions that things may rebound. But for now, the Bank of England's sending out some signals that perhaps they may be ready to actually cut interest rates as soon as this month.
Thank you very much. David Merritt, our news director in London, Beijing. We thank editor Emma O'Brien, the managing editor there, and Joe Weisenthal, head of the America's News Desk for Bloomberg News here in New York. Thanks very much. Ahead of the market open on Wall Street, green on the screen, Dow futures, they're up 112 points, S&P futures up 12 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thanks. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Land Rover. Life's an adventure. Experience it in the new Land Rover Discovery Sport. Visit your tri-state area Land Rover retailer for details on the new Discovery Sport. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures are higher to start a week, highlighted by bank earnings and U.S.-China trade developments. Iran is also in focus after admitting to mistakenly downing a Ukrainian plane last week. That's garnered condemnation from governments around the world. And here with more is Bloomberg's Maria Tadeo.
The Iranians are getting a lot of heat now because of that plane that was shot down and the fact that this is so tragic that this was done in a way that really raises many question marks. It's definitely not a good thing for Iran.
And protests broke out across Iran after the government admitted striking down that jet. Videos on social media show clashes between protesters and riot police and trails of blood on the street. We get details from Bloomberg Zineb Fattah in Dubai.
Protesters are super angry about the number of people who died and the initial cover-up that the government started with, basically not taking responsibility for its mistake. And so far, we have seen no blame officially, and that's angering the protesters even more.
President Trump is voicing support for the protesters with tweets warning Iran's leaders not to interfere with demonstrations.
Meantime, a delegation from China arrives in Washington today with plans to sign a Phase 1 trade agreement on Wednesday. Optimism on that front as China's currency is strengthening, with the yuan breaching 6.9 per dollar for the first time since August.
The pound is weaker as traders move up bets for a rate cut from the Bank of England. Data show the British economy shrank 0.3% in November, and BOE member Gert-Jan Vlieg tells the Financial Times he will vote to lower rates this month if there's no sign of improvement. Checking sterling now, it is weaker against the dollar at 129.77.
It's a big week for U.S. banks. Earnings start rolling in from the largest lenders tomorrow. Bank stocks are coming off their best year in two decades, posting a 36% gain in 2019.
In the meantime, Goldman Sachs is planning a big expansion in China. We get details now live from Bloomberg's John Tucker. Good morning, John.
And Nathan, sources tell us Goldman has a five-year plan in place that calls for doubling its staff in China to 600 people. They're taking advantage of new rules that let Wall Street banks expand across that country. Infused with hundreds of millions of dollars in new capital, Goldman plans to take control of a joint venture that it set up with a Chinese securities firm back in 2004. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak. Karen.
All right, John, thank you. S&P futures are up about 12 points. Dow futures up 110. NASDAQ futures up 44. The 10-year Treasury down 6/32, yield 1.84%. And the yield on the 2-year, 1.57%. NYMEX crude oil is down about 0.2% or 9 cents at $58.95 a barrel. And the euro, 1.1118 against the dollar. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. 6:33 on Wall Street. And Michael Barr is back with us to give us a check of what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. The executive director of Human Rights Watch says that he was prevented from entering Hong Kong, where he intended to release a report critical of the Chinese government. Kenneth Roth said in a video posted on Twitter that he had planned to hold a news conference Wednesday to release the rights group's annual world report.
Sadly, as I arrived here, the Chinese government decided it didn't want to let me in. So even though I've been able to enter Hong Kong freely before, this time, for the first time, they blocked me.
The move happened as Hong Kong residents continue pro-democracy protests. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi said it was unusual for her counterpart in the Senate, Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, to back a resolution aimed at dismissing the impeachment case against President Trump. Pelosi says dismissing is a cover-up. House Speaker Pelosi also says the Trump administration has not been straight with Congress about the U.S. drone strike that killed Iran's top general. Pelosi on ABC's This Week.
When they called and told me, the Secretary of Defense and the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs confirmed that we were involved in this action, I said, well, you should have informed the Gang of Eight in advance of this. This leadership and the chairs of the Intelligence Committee and ranking members, House and Senate, we had to keep it close. You had to keep it close. Well, we had to keep it close because we didn't want it to get out. What you're saying is you don't trust the Congress of the United States.
ABC's This Week can be heard Sundays on Bloomberg Radio. Thousands of Filipinos are fleeing as a volcano is erupting 40 miles south of Manila. It has triggered about 75 earthquakes and spewed ballistic fragments, forcing Manila Airport to close. Bloomberg's Andrea Colanzo has more from Manila.
Taal Volcano, also a tourist attraction, is spewing steam and molten rock, prompting authorities to raise the second highest alert level. That means hazardous explosive eruption is possible within hours or days. Ash from the volcanic eruption reached the capital, causing the closure of government offices, stocks, foreign exchange, and bond markets. In Manila, Andrea Colanzo, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. 6:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
Nathan, when the Packers play the 49ers for the NFC Championship, it'll be the eighth time in the last 25 years the teams have met in the postseason. The two teams combined a year ago to win only 10 games. Both have won 14 times. This season, the Packers beat Seattle 28-23. Aaron Rodgers hooked up twice with Devontae Adams for touchdowns. He then threw a pass to Adams for a first down. That sealed the win after the Seahawks had come from 18 down to close to within five.
Yeah, it's a special feeling. That's kind of what we talked about in the huddle before the last drive. These are the moments that you work for and you think about in the offseason, the chance to put a game away. And like I've said, you know, most of the year, as you guys have talked about, the aesthetics of our wins, it doesn't have to be pretty. But what we've done is closed out games the right way.
Earlier, bizarre game in Kansas City. Houston led 24-0 second quarter, but the Chiefs, with four touchdown passes by Patrick Mahomes in a span of 10 minutes, had the lead by halftime, went on to win 51-31. Both Travis Kelce and Damian Williams scored three TDs. The AFC title game, Tennessee at Kansas City. Kevin Stefanski will be the new head coach in Cleveland. He was Minnesota's offensive coordinator. The Giants' defensive coordinator will be Patrick Graham. He had been in Miami before that. Graham was on the New England staff with the new Giants coach, Joe Judge. At the Garden, big comeback by the Knicks, down 14. They rallied past Miami, 124-121. Julius Randle, 26 points. Knicks end a five-game losing streak. At Barclays, welcome back Kyrie Irving. His first game in 2 months, scored 21, missed only one shot. The Nets downed Atlanta, 108-86. The Devils have fired GM Ray Shero. They then beat Tampa Bay 3-1. The Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. I'm John Stashel. Nathan?
Thank you, John. Coming up this week, plenty of data on the economic agenda with Thursday's retail sales report for December, providing fresh insight on the holidays. Here with more is Bloomberg's Vinny Del Giudice.
Economists anticipate improvement over November, and reports from the private sector bear that out. Sales on Super Saturday, the Saturday before Christmas, set a record. E-commerce giant Amazon saw its holiday sales smash past years, with one-day or same-day shipping quadrupling. The Federal Reserve's Regional Economic Survey, the Beige Book, will provide retail perspective, too. Also on this week's data calendar, inflation, housing, and industrial production. Bloomberg customers can find a full list of economic indicators by typing ECOGO on their Bloomberg terminal. Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Okay, Vinny, thank you. It's 6:38 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Green Report. Here's Bob Moon.
In the not-too-distant future, your online order may be delivered by someone on an electric moped, shipped using biofuel, and flown in an energy-efficient aircraft on the most direct route possible, all to reach your door with minimum delay and limited carbon emissions impact. Corporations are paying increasing attention to the environmental impact of transporting goods, even as consumers demand ever faster and more convenient delivery services. From Amazon to IKEA, retailers are recognizing the benefits of streamlining delivery slots and working with artificial intelligence to calculate the most efficient route possible. DHL Worldwide Express improves the efficiency of its operations by using AI-powered optimization algorithms, tracking patterns of driving behavior, customer availability, and possible traffic problems to choose the best time to drive on a specific street, all of which minimizes additional driving and carbon emissions. That's the Bloomberg Green Business Report. I'm Bob Moon.
Thanks, Bob. Some stories we're watching in the auto industry this morning. First, Nissan is reportedly making contingency plans for a possible split from Renault. According to the Financial Times, the planning was stepped up after Carlos Ghosn's dramatic escape from Japan. The separation would reportedly include a total divide in manufacturing and engineering, plus changes to Nissan's board. Meantime, Porsche is defying the car industry slump by reporting record sales. The sports car maker says global deliveries rose 10% in 2019, and that was driven by demand for Porsche's Macan and Cayenne SUVs. And Aston Martin is making a last-ditch effort to bring in fresh funding. Bloomberg News has learned that Canadian billionaire Lawrence Stroll is willing to inject $260 million into the struggling British luxury car maker. Plus, China's Geely is also having talks about investing in Aston Martin. Geely controls Sweden's Volvo and Britain's Lotus cars. Head of the open on Wall Street on this Monday morning. Futures are headed higher. S&P futures gaining almost 11 points right now. Dow futures up 105. NASDAQ futures higher by 41 points. DAX in Germany is lower by 0.1%, while the CAC in Paris is higher by 0.2%. 10 years down, 7/32. The yield 1.84%. 2-year treasury yield 1.57%. West Texas Intermediate crude oil is down 0.2% or 9 cents, $58.95 a barrel. The euro, 1.1120 against the dollar. Stay with us. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg NBC Sports Report was brought to you by BMW. Test drive a BMW at your Tri-State BMW Center and receive exceptional offers on a new BMW. Visit them at tristatebmw.com. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and on Quick Take by Bloomberg. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
Moscow, 6:47 on Wall Street. Futures on the rise this morning. We go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. That's right. U.S. futures trading in the green right now. Dow futures up 87 points, S&P's gain 9, and NASDAQ futures climb by 37. The U.S. 10-year yield at 1.84%. Gold is down 10, and Hong Kong rose 1.1% overnight. Well, European markets are trading mixed this morning. Back in the U.S. on the economic front, at 2 o'clock monthly budget statement. In deal news, Woodward to combine with Hexcel in a $6.4 billion all-stock deal. And another is Tesla's price target raised to street high $6.12 over at Oppenheimer. Regarding earnings, Lululemon boosted its Q4 EPS forecast. And wrapping things up, American Tower's raised to buy over at Goldman Sachs. Advanced Auto cut to neutral at JP Morgan. And Apache was raised to equal weight over at Morgan Stanley. Live from the First American News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, Bill, thank you. And here live breaking news over here at Bloomberg. Time squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, anger is growing against Iran's leadership following last week's unintentional missile launch that brought down a commercial airliner, killing over 100 Iranians in the crash. Thousands flooded the streets in protest against Supreme Leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei. President Trump offered support to the Iranian people, tweeting in Farsi and in English, "My administration will continue to stand with you." The executive director of campaign group Human Rights Watch, Kenneth Roth, says that he was prevented from entering Hong Kong, where he intended to release a report critical of the Chinese government. In the NFL playoffs, the Packers advanced to the NFC final, beating the Seahawks 28-23. The Chiefs advanced to the AFC final, beating the Texans 51-31. In the NBA, the Knicks and Nets won. The Wizards lost, along with the Warriors. In the NHL, the Devils won. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thank you. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. We're at 6:49 on Wall Street. Time to check what's going on in D.C., where the Trump administration continues to face questions about policy toward Iran. White House National Security Advisor Robert O'Brien made the Sunday political show rounds to defend the attack that killed Quds Force General Qasem Soleimani.
We had exquisite intelligence, and the intelligence showed that they were looking at U.S. facilities throughout the region and that they wanted to inflict casualties on American soldiers, sailors, airmen, Marines, as well as diplomats. The threat was imminent.
That was on NBC's Meet the Press. But how imminent was it? On Friday, President Trump told Fox News he thought Soleimani was planning attacks on four U.S. embassies. Democratic Senator Chris Coons tells Fox News Sunday that's not what he heard from administration briefers.
In the classified briefing that lasted 75 minutes and had virtually the entire Senate there, we got less detailed information than President Trump shared with Laura Ingraham.
O'Brien was also on Fox News Sunday. He was asked whether the president's maximum pressure campaign will really lead to negotiations when Iran's response so far has been to attack.
There's no other way for them to get the money they need to fund the guard, to fund their regime, to fund their malign activities, and you're seeing protests now breaking out across Iran, and we've seen it now for several months. People are fed up with this regime. If Iran wants to maintain a modern country, a modern economy, they're going to have to come to the table and negotiate. I think that's highly likely.
The U.S. also faces negotiations with Iraq to keep U.S. troops there after lawmakers voted to kick them out. Defense Secretary Mark Esper tells CBS's Face the Nation he'd like NATO to have more of a role.
It's been my aspiration for some time to have a smaller footprint in Iraq and in the broader Middle East. No, I think that's a matter for commanders on the ground to assess. We have to look at what other capabilities that our NATO partners can bring to the fore, and I think that has to be a process.
And House Speaker Nancy Pelosi plans to meet with Democrats tomorrow to discuss sending articles of impeachment to the Senate. The Speaker tells ABC's This Week her three-week delay has had results.
Raising the profile of the fact that we need to have witnesses and documentation, and if we don't, that is a cover-up.
That is some of the conversation from the political shows heard every Sunday on Bloomberg Radio. NBC's Meet the Press at 11 a.m. Wall Street time. Fox News Sunday at noon. ABC's This Week at 1 p.m. and Face the Nation from CBS at 2 o'clock. For more, we're joined live by Bloomberg U.S. politics editor Kathleen Hunter. And let's start, Kate, with the latest on what's happening in Iran. And the phrase we kept hearing on the Sunday shows from National Security Advisor Robert O'Brien was that the U.S. had exquisite intelligence about the imminent threat posed by General Soleimani. At the same time, that's not exactly what we're hearing from lawmakers who have seen at least some of that intelligence. What's the disconnect here?
Well, it seems as though there's some discrepancy among what at least lawmakers were told last week behind closed doors. Now, we don't know exactly what that is because we're relying on their accounts of what they were told. But, you know, it seems as though Trump went a bit further in talking about an imminent threat to embassies and particularly to four embassies, which seems to have come as a surprise to lawmakers, including folks like Republican Mike Lee, who's been very critical of the briefing that members of Congress received last week. And so it sounds as though, piecing it together, like what Trump has said now publicly, surpasses what lawmakers were told, and also potentially surpasses what at least some of his own national security officials might have seen themselves in terms of specific intelligence referring to four embassies.
Yeah, we also got reports late last week that at the same time of the attack on General Soleimani, there were plans in place to target a top Quds Force general in Yemen. And that sort of muddies the waters as well, doesn't it?
It definitely does. I think that the issue here is that, what was originally said by the administration, in the aftermath of the Soleimani strike has really evolved over the last 10 days or so. And so I think that that's raising questions then about, what exactly, was the motivation at the time versus what is now being said was the motivation by the administration.
So what does this mean for the debate that we could see coming up on Capitol Hill this week when it comes to a new authorization for use of military force? Where do you see that going at this point?
Well, I think that, frankly, there certainly was a lot more momentum for that in the House than there's going to be in the Senate. But I would imagine, given that the Senate's controlled by Republicans, the House obviously is controlled by Democrats. So I think in a lot of ways, the House, what we saw last week, which was largely along partisan lines, was meant to lay down a marker and be more symbolic than it was necessarily, the idea that there's going to be legislation really leaving the station on this. But I think it will be interesting to see in the Senate this week, how this argument evolves as, members of that chamber consider it, particularly watching folks like Mike Lee, who we mentioned before, and Rand Paul, who are Republicans, who've been very critical of the administration on this issue.
And of course, attention in the Senate this week is going to turn to impeachment. The thought that Speaker Pelosi is perhaps going to turn over articles of impeachment to the Senate as soon as tomorrow. What's the expectation there? Is that what we're expecting, that we could see that process triggered as soon as tomorrow?
That's certainly where all the indicators are pointing at this point, Nathan. I think that we're likely to see, well, we know that this is likely to be discussed at a meeting of House Democrats, a closed-door meeting tomorrow, you know, in the context that a lot of pressure was building both publicly and privately on Pelosi to go ahead and transmit those articles. I think that it's likely we'll see that happen this week. Now, that, and keeping that in mind, it's going to still take some time to set up and begin a trial and then not to mention conduct a trial in the Senate. And I think it's also important to remember a couple of dates that are coming up on the calendar. Trump himself is set to head overseas next week for the World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland. And then, you know, closely following on that, we also have the Iowa caucuses on February 3rd. And so I think kind of fitting in a Senate trial in between those two things is a dynamic that Mitch McConnell is going to be looking at closely.
Yeah, it's good. I guess that raises the question of whether it all can be fit in. Obviously, McConnell is hoping that there is going to be a speedy resolution to this. But what are the chances that we could actually see witnesses called, given that Pelosi on the Sunday show said that her delay succeeded in at least raising the issue of witnesses and documents?
I think it's definitely raised the issue of witnesses and documents. And I think the question there is whether, you know, because the Senate is so closely divided, it would just take a couple of Republicans to side with Democrats in order to force that to happen. And so I think that that is the question, is whether, you know, we see any movement from Republicans on that. I don't think we've necessarily seen the needle move on that thus far. There's a difference between raising the issue and, you know, getting the votes you need to force that to happen. But I think that's certainly a dynamic to watch this week.
Do you think it'll be a dynamic that we'll be able to see as the trial plays out? From what I understand, I mean, looking at past impeachment trials, senators are pretty much silent jurors through the process, right?
That's right. And so, you know, there, if you're a Republican, there's really not a whole lot of reason to kind of break ranks at this point, given what we've seen in the polling. And also, you know, not a whole lot of reason politically, at least, to drag this out. And so I think that, you know, when I say watch Republicans, I mean more watch reporters, watch what reporters are asking them in the hallways of the Senate, not so much what they're going to be forced to say on the Senate floor.
Yeah, I got to think there are going to be many questions asked in this potentially pivotal week. Bloomberg U.S. politics editor Kathleen Hunter, thank you as always. Read more at Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal and follow all the latest on Bloomberg Radio in Washington. Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. Karen?
All right, Nathan, thank you. S&P futures higher this morning, up 7 points. Dow futures up 61. And NASDAQ futures are up 30. The DAX in Germany is down 0.4%. 10-year Treasury down 6/32, yield 1.84%, and the yield on the 2-year at 1.57%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.2% or 10 cents at $58.94 a barrel. And COMEX gold is down 0.4% or $5.90 at $15.54.20 an ounce. The euro, 1.1124 against the dollar, and the British pound at 1.2976. And Bloomberg Surveillance with Tom Keene, Jonathan Farrow, and Lisa Abramowitz is coming up next. And for Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.